Eagle FM Namibia.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe. And it's that time of the morning that we look at affairs of economic development, global affairs, continental affairs, and everything that affect what we eat at home, everything that affect our pocket. And this is a platform. We are here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. It's the 22nd of January, 2026, 3 minutes past the hour of 6. And as I indicated, days, time, weeks, months, and years are moving, and they are not waiting for anybody. And what is necessary is the fact that you are awake, the fact that you listen to Eagle FM. It means that the battle is not yet over. Even if you lost some battles, you can still win the war. That is why the fact that you are awake, the fact that you can listen to Eagle FM Namibia, the fact that you are able, must make sure that you wake up, must make sure that you do what you can do within your control, so that by the end of the day, at least you have something that you are proud of, and at least do two or three great things that you can remember. Within a day, don't just be on autopilot. There are those people who give up very fast. Don't just be on autopilot to think whatever comes, but you must know, you must have a purpose for the day, for the week, and also for your entire life. And you know, human beings, creatures that need the motivations, and we must also be able to assist others, particularly those who are demoralized. And to soldier on, because it's not yet over until you win. It's not yet over until you win. As long as you are alive, the battle should continue. But the main battle that every Namibian, every African is fighting is for economic emancipation. It's a battle of fighting inequality, and also finding a way to find out that at least, at the end of the day, those who are at the edge of the economy of the country at least have the basic required needs, such as clean water, safety, basic housing, medical care, and also happiness, which is constituted by things that they have, and also they are thinking about the future due to the service that they are getting, and also trust that they have in leadership, and also in the institutions which are established. And before we go to the conversation for today, as always, we look at what is happening. What is happening in the continent of Africa? What is happening in the world? And we understand that there is an ongoing World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland there. And there are around 65 or more than 65 CEOs, more than 60 head of states and governments, leaders of industries. And the World Economic Forum is an international non-governmental organization which, constitute actually of government leaders, scientists, youth leaders, and also constitute of academics to discuss about the future of the world, to discuss about things which are affecting the world, and also put down some of the agenda, especially what needs to be done, how it needs to be tackled. And at the center of that conversation, apart from climate changes, the issue of global economy is inevitable, and the issue of Greenland is inevitable from the discussion, and also the issue of, Ukraine and the Russian conflict, and also how to see strengthening multilateralism, and also how to improve the lives of people. So at the global scale, the world still did not give up. Business will still continue. And a lot of people are looking at this point in time to say, no, things are becoming worse. They are not becoming worse. That is the nature of human beings. And at any point in time in history, you always find yourself in a situation like this. And those who take notes and also those who write history, this is the time so that you can record, because we are not even worse than 1929, 1930 there. And somebody is born 1915 in Europe. You know, from the First World War to global economic depression 1929, 1930 there, to the Second World War, to atomic bombs, and you know, some people, they went through difficult lives, you know, throughout history, but we are just complaining about a few things that we see. It's tariff, and we are complaining, why can't we change the game? Why can't we find also what we can do within our means? And let us see the outcome. And it's also good because this meeting for World Economic Forum, where world leaders are meeting in Davos, Switzerland, it's ending tomorrow. It started on the 19th, and it's ending tomorrow. And I was trying to check with a delegation from Namibia. Not yet getting this information. Maybe we do. Maybe we do have. But I did not get that yet. Who is representing us there? Maybe business people are there. Maybe the investment board is there. But I'm not really sure for now. Let us see, because you must also make sure that that is not only an opportunity for meeting, it's also an opportunity for other opportunities, and it's also an opportunity for networking, because you must be able to remember, is that this platform, whether it's World Economic Forum meetings, whether it's UN General Assembly, whether it's Conference of Party, regarding the climate, where leaders started networking, remember at one point, the late Dr. Genkop, may his soul rest in peace, he went to conference, Climate of Party, I think it's from COP29 there, COP27 there, that he came out with a good proposal, also with some cash, especially regarding industries in Namibia, and also investment too. And it's at this platform that a country that, like Namibia, should or must attend, to make sure that it's not only about investment, but it's also about selling the country, you know, to the world, and also making sure that you come up with new agreements, come up with new business deals, then what we have, and we also evaluate what we have to say, are the new business deals that we have with the world working, or we need to relook at them so that we can move forward. And a very interesting thing has happened. You know, in Senegal, where the president of Senegal, President Bassirou Diomaye Faye, has praised, you know, has praised for some of the, or has placed the football team, or the national team, that has brought AFCON Cup, and after defeating Morocco. And what is very interesting is that you know, some of the players, especially Sadio Mane, they were honored with the first order of the Lion. Those are the medals that are given to heroes, particularly to the most distinguished citizen, either is a military leader, that is the most successful person who contributed to the country's development, or either is somebody who is a war hero. But you'll be able to see Sadio Mane, and also a few of his colleagues were given this praise. That is the first order of the Lion. And I think in Namibia, the highest medal is first order of the Ingel. if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it's the first order of an eagle. But those are some of the medals that are given to. It's a respect that is given to a citizen, and it also has to do with the work that an individual has done to his country. Either you are a war hero, or you are a pirate who saved a president, or a pirate who saved crew, or you are somebody who have done something incredible, and I will be written in the history of that country, and your name will never be erased. And one of the reasons which was given is that Sadio Mane, being recognized, being a veteran player, one of the things that given him credit, although he was not the guy who scored the winning goal, he was the guy who led, and as a veteran player also, not only in Senegal, but also in at the global platform. It was indicated that it was because of Sadio Mane who was credited for remaining calm and persuading his team member to come back to finish the game and saving that AFCON to be cancelled. Because if you look at what was happening in Morocco, it's like, Senegal was not well treated until to the point, these players wanted to leave before the game was finished. And I remember there was a penalty which was awarded to Morocco. And these guys realized that it was not fair. But after they were persuaded, it was Sadio Mane, was the only guy who said, guys, we must go, because this is not only about our emotions, but it's about Africa, and it's also about Senegal, and also about the support that are following us. Because when you look into that context, you can also be able to see that it's not only about the country, it's also about who is watching, and also about the quality of players. Because one of the things that people do not speak about is that players have to endure difficult situations. We have seen the treatment of people, the treatment they were treated in Morocco. We have also seen that they were not given security. You have to hire immediately your private security before your players are robbed. They were just left there at the airport without clear direction. Then the treatment was not okay. The food was also not up to standard. And they were also bullied because, some part of, we still have this thinking, some part of, African countries, they still look at themselves as not African, but you'll be able to see that they were bullied, but enduring all those things, and until to the point of you winning the cup, it requires really somebody who have strength and character. You also realize that these guys are not only players, but they are also leaders. Because if 12 men are saying, or 11 or 10 men are saying, we are leaving, but it's only one who is saying, guys, it's not about us, but it's also about the country. It requires some level of leadership, and there are also indication to say, a leader who appear calm when the kingdom is burning, he's a true leader, because that shows the character. And that is what happened. And it also saved their name, actually. They saved their name because FIFA was watching, and also Confederation of African Football. And the team have walked away with $10 million US dollars. And the president said, my guys, come, and I have to respect and give you awards. And they got those recognition of the first order of the Lion. Yeah, let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Innovative
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
We are progressing. We are progressing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 19 minutes past the hour of 6. Let us look at what is happening in Davos in Switzerland. And it was stated that, as I indicated, that leaders of the world, global players, economic leaders, head of states, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and also NGO leaders, representative of international institutions, are there gathering, discussing the future of the world. And the leader of the free world, that is President Donald Trump, the leader of the United States of America, he is also there in Davos, Switzerland. But what is very interesting is that Donald Trump still pushing the board of peace, and it was stated that the president of Egypt, when they met with Donald Trump, has accepted the invitation to be part of board of peace. It was stated that U.S. President Donald Trump met on Wednesday with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi during the World Economic Forum in Davos, and the two has discussed bringing together Egypt and Ethiopia to resolve a dispute over Ethiopia, Grand Ethiopia Renaissance Dam, as well as US-led Board of Peace overseeing Gaza peace deal. And, it's quite interesting that Egypt is moving on the other side, and they've accepted the invitation. And also maybe to us to say, what are some of the measures there? Because if you accept that to be part of board of peace, are you still going to lean to BRICS, or it depends on who you are and what you do? And there is also a discussion about dispute over Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. Remember that Ethiopia built the biggest dam in Africa. Build the biggest dam in Africa. That is not only for water, but it's also for generation of power, and also providing electricity in Ethiopia. And there have been a bit of disputes with Ethiopia and also Egypt, especially regarding the use of water. Because remember, that at the dam is using Nile River water, and also depends on where you are in terms of the flow of water. It's like Ethiopia is blocking that water and is using much of that water to its advantage. That's why there have been a bit of conflict, disputes actually, between Egypt and also Ethiopia. But it seems like looking into that context, Egypt is accepting or is accepted to be part of Board of Peace, that is seen as an alternative to some of the international institutions, particularly United Nations. And you also be able to see that Donald Trump is, according to the drafted charter, is the inaugural executive chair of or executive chairman of Board of Peace. And based on the requirements, each country that are going to have a seat in the Board of Peace for 3 years, they have to pay $1 billion. That is membership. And the aim of this Board of Peace is to promote global governance and also solving of global conflict and also promotion of peace. And be able to see that if you look beyond the lines, you can also see that Ethiopia is also making its calculation, and Egypt is also making its calculation, because if Egypt become a part of Board of Peace, and Ethiopia is the main one of the new members of BRICS, and one of the new emerging players in global economy. Because you can also be able to see that apart from Ethiopia also expanding its industry, you can also be able to see that when the beginning of the year, China foreign minister, who started with his African tour, has started with Ethiopia, and Ethiopia is one of the countries that are doing well now, especially in terms of adjustment of their economy, and is the headquarter of African Union. It's a headquarter of the African Union. Good evening. It's the headquarter of the African Union. And looking into that context, you can also be able to see and realize that when you look at Ethiopia, especially in terms of trade, it's the only country that has dominated the Continental Airlines, and they are expanding their airports, and they have bought around 200 airplanes to expand that. And you can see, even today, when we are going to speak about tourism, when you are going to look at statistics, you realize to say tourism also depends on logistics, and also depends on your access to places and destination. But if Ethiopia is moving to BRICS and Egypt is moving to the Board of Peace, we see how things are going to turn out. And it's an interesting space to watch. Now, at Davos too, you can also see that Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and 6 other countries have accepted the Board of Peace invite. And seems like the Trump's strategy is working. Saudi Arabia and 7 Muslim majority countries, including Qatar, Turkey, have agreed to join U.S. President Trump Board of Peace. That was said by Saudi Foreign Ministry, and they've indicated through a joint statement, and they've also indicated that this is just Indonesia, Pakistan, United Arab Emirates have to join the body to be chaired by Trump. And, countries are moving to that side. But, there is actually a few differences, particularly in terms of, global alliance. There's particularly a few differences, because I want to see India here. I want to see Russia here. I want to see China's view. I want to see Iran's view. I want to see Iraq's view. Is Iraq also having a voice in a global platform? Because you must be also able to ask yourself to say, what happened after early 2000 invasion of Iraq? Have you ever seen the president of Iraq making any statement or hosting any global, platform, or maybe giving a very important speech in the United Nations General Assembly? Have you ever seen some movements, particularly in a international platform, especially from Iraq, or after early 2000 invasion, is the end of Iraq global participation, or it has ended with Mr. Saddam Hussein? And you're also asking yourself to say, what is the position, even if you have to be curious enough to say, what is the position of Iraq in issues of climate change also? Because it's still a country, still has leadership. But for now, let us look at what ShopRite has for us, what ShopRite has for us, and we move forward. Stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8.
At ShopRite, our low price promise is to always help you save when you need it most. Make every dollar count this January and save big on deals like 2 kg Real Good Frozen Chicken Mixed Portions, only 109 Namibian dollars 99, and 1 litre Bonita Long Life Full Cream Milk for just 19 Namibian dollars 99. Don't miss out. Visit your nearest ShopRite and save more this January. Offers valid until 25 January 2026. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
Spend less and get more with budget beaters at WB. Get a 2-liter Rietfontein juice for only $36.99. 5 kg nice rice for just $87.99. 4 kg Kadila chicken portions for $189.99. And 2 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for only $57.99. See more month-end specials at Voermanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and we are indicating to you what is happening in continental and global affairs. And you must be able to remember that, the Board of Peace, the strategy is working. Strategy is working. And although there have been indication to say the initial establishment of Board of Peace was to deal with the issue of Gaza and find peace in Gaza. But when you look at the charter itself, it's a charter which is looks like a rival to United Nations. And when powerful countries align with the Board of Peace, remember that I don't want to say that will be the end of United Nations, and United Nations will be able to lose its relevance. And do not be surprised, and do not think the probability for Russia not to sit is not there, and also for China not to sit is not there. Because if they look at this Board of Peace and they realize that it is really part of their interest, you will not know. You will not be shocked if you see China also sitting at this Board of Peace, if you see Russia, if you see India and other relevant or bigger states, then that will be a rival, complete rival to Board of Peace. And even the name itself, but the charter on its own is an expansion. And the Middle East, the oil guys have already decided. Egypt have accepted. Pakistan has accepted. And we are yet to see what will happen from Asia. And also African countries have a right to choose, and also a right to reason. Let's not just say do not vote or do not join. And was Namibia invited? Are we going to pay that $1 billion? Are we invited to sit in a global platform? What are the opportunities which are there? Is this a good business? Is this part of what we want. Because do not be surprised, because what is necessary is pursuing the interests of your country so that your people at home will not die of hunger, so that your people at home will not be, dying of hunger and also faced with challenges. But look like it's more than what will happen in Gaza, especially looking at this, peaceful proposal which has been presented. Now, looking at Uganda, when you look at Uganda, let's look at the caller, then we move forward. Good morning.
Yes, I'm there.
Yes, how are you?
The board of peace, huh?
Yeah. It's the board of chaos.
The joke, that's not the thing.
No, it's a piece of, I think, is the intention not good?
No. A board of peace chaired by the Americans who is terrorizing other countries in the name of peace, whose peace? No, that's a parallel thing from, you have a United Nations.
Yeah.
One. They are just developing that parallel structure. You see?
It's what analysts are saying, but people are moving. I thought it was not popular, but why countries are moving there?
Because the United Nations, if the United States is the chair.
Yeah.
Then to join, it's like United States is the foundation. You understand? It's a foundation of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, you have to pay license fees. Ne? For what now? That the $1 billion in $1 million.
No, it's US now.
So it's a center thing. Whatever country that they have want security.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah.
It must join that one. Therefore, United Nations is becoming irrelevant.
But
if you go in history, you can really see that there was a time when United, like from League of Nations, there United States was not part of that nonsense.
They just proposed it.
It was just a kind of European thing. It later came to give birth to European Union at the end of the social NATO issues.
But the League of Nations, United Nations president is the one who proposed it, right? I mean the League of Nations, it was United Nations president who proposed it. Who is the name? After First World War? But they did not join. Okay. Yeah.
It's okay.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, United States just came to join the UN afterwards. After it realized that it is the only person who has the power, and they even started to have dominance most of advice. So at the end of the day, you can easily see that a major country like Russia, because immediately after Second World War, there was more of a Cold War.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Soviet Union have to what? To go back and build in capacity.
Yeah.
That's why after World War II,
yeah,
only the Russians and the Americans who become a superpower competing for hegemony position. Yes, only those two countries.
Yeah.
But the Americans was not fighting any war there. But in fact, the Russians were fighting war. But when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1989,
yeah,
they had no choice but they have to go build capacity. And the Russians have to disengage from global conflict a bit. And try just to protect the mainland Russia.
Now, are you seeing China joining Board of Peace?
Look, that's why Chinese, they are very clever.
Yeah.
They are very good to when it comes to diplomacy.
Yeah.
If they join, you cannot be surprised. If they did not also join, you cannot be surprised.
Yeah.
But the Chinese, they put their no finger or nose where they think. This is a good smell, irrespective of whatever you people are saying. Because here, United Nations is becoming a useless institution. Because without it, without even a United Nations, that's why I remember US also tried to move out like some funding and what was. Without US, United Nations is toothless.
We are.
NATO is useless. They cannot do anything.
No, we are seeing.
Yeah. So without US, that's why when the Israel bomb Iran, who was the UN? What does the UN say?
They condemn.
Condemn with a mouth. Look, Namibia can condemn with a mouth. We can understand.
Yeah.
But the UN cannot condemn with a mouth.
They did not even propose sanctions, but what happened? Why it happened to other countries? You get punishment until to get punishment, you get blacklisted and...
When France and the Americans went in Libya, what happened? What did the UN do?
I think they who was the SG at that time? Was it not Kofini?
No. Because you cannot have UN that contain use the same way the same way Namibia should use it just to contain with you. Where you have the all the everything at your own disposal, even just to expel the country from the UN. What is the point of having it
as
a member state when it's violating the fundamental, you know, principle of UN when it comes to global peace?
But I also started realizing it to say UN end up becoming nothing without states also because
it existed because of member states, but member states
they also divided.
They are also divided because it's always between East and West.
Yeah,
it's all about socialist and capitalism, and that has been the foundation of the world from the beginning. After the First World War,
Do you think if we make a very good calculation, can Namibia join also?
No.
If we look at it, because the charter is expanded, it's beyond the Gaza peace. It's like global governance now.
Look, that's what I said. Namibia, whether they join now or not, by default, it's like that.
Okay.
Because they are already in the franchise system of the West, which is where Americans is a global player in terms of politics, in terms of economy, in the market, as I was saying. We see these things from far, even if we are already in a franchise system.
Now, you know, it's a good thing that you are bringing those things up. Now, let us look at this way, eh? We are already in that part of that global system, although it has not benefited majority of our people. Maybe somebody will also ask to say now, when you are in trouble, how do you move? Not to move out, how do you move? How do you work with what you have? How do you work with what you have? So at least you look at, because a lot of people, we spoke about moving to the East, but you realize that the East also itself, they are not really enemies of anyone.
The thing is, there's no need to move east or west.
Yeah.
Go to the Namibian foreign policy, very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say move east or west? No.
Mm.
It's a non-alignment.
Yeah, it's non-alignment. Yeah. I see it.
But Namibian position, when it comes to global policy, economy, and trade and market or something, it's a non-alignment. It's a diplomatic, it's diplomacy.
But you know that some deals require you to choose. Have you seen that? To say don't trade with our enemies. Have you seen that?
That's why I said, if you have weak diplomacy, then you are not going to win. Because diplomacy is the most difficult position to choose. You see? Because diplomacy is not for the weak mind. You have to follow all whatever happening in the world. Global politics, economy, everything you must read, the history. You must, that's why when you're on the table, you must understand what happens.
Where, when, and how? Who is pulling the strings?
When and how? What were the implications?
Mm.
Look, the only country which is good in diplomacy, I said, they learn from the Chinese.
No, they are very good.
They are very good. So, because they knew. That's why I said the position of
you can also not take it away from the Iranian guys. They produce best diplomats. That one, they are also good.
Yeah.
Because they survive for a long also.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's why I said that diplomacy is a difficult position. It's not for the weak mind.
You need to
because it's a position of learning. You must learn and understand. No. It's not for the weak mind way.
Yeah.
Because if you are weak mind, you can just be taught. There's no innovation there. Because diplomacy is the position of innovation also. You must innovate.
You don't contribute, you are given, you don't contribute anything to the contract. You don't disagree with it, you don't initiate new things.
That is the position of diplomacy.
Mm.
If you are not strong, then you must be clever. When you use diplomacy,
you can win. Okay, okay, thank you. All right.
You see, that's what I said. Ask me. This seems to apparently I'm not to say, no, we are East or we are West Bosa.
Yeah.
Unless you don't understand the Namibian foreign policy. In it is, you know, full capacity. What it means. You see, what is it
say? But I think we must also credit because that is the only way you can survive it. If you are a small nation, you cannot do like other people. You need to work with everybody. But I think we also reach a point where we are saying, because if you go deep into it, it does not only saying that, it's also saying that if you are in conflict with our interest, we are not working with you.
that's all we are saying. Because you don't understand.
Yeah.
Because you don't understand how international politics and economy work.
Mm.
Because if there is a problem, if you don't know what is the problem, how are you going to get solution?
But I was trying to look at who represents us at the World Economic Forum. I'm not seeing anyone. I'm not seeing, maybe it's our ministry. I don't see.
Me, I'm not interested because I know those are French assistants. the thing is to say, man, the promise is to say, when a lady is working in the bar, you only pay her 800.
Yeah.
Every time he's supposed to eat or hare and tinga, at the end of the month, or kwashota and ngomansa gatano, 800.
Yeah.
But every day is just coming to work. You deduct all the money, but he's still happy there serving your customer property.
Mm-hmm.
He's still coming to work. You cannot chase her out. You cannot. What is that now? If you that is the basic thing that I can put for some to understand.
Mm.
You can even find out there is a guy who is a just gardener in a clean coupe there. You're only giving 1,000. That salary is even equal to the transport. That guy is always happy, earning the work. What is that? What is that you're calling it? Here. Because you need to say, look, because when you sit, why you are in abusive relationship if you can sit? Because you can see it's an abusive relationship. You see it abusive, but you can say, but there is something beneficial.
That you cannot see.
That you cannot see.
Mm-hmm. No, I get you.
And that is the position of diplomacy now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the country cannot define its own sovereign threshold, where they try to, you know, to protect and self-guard, all the time. You because you don't know. Because otherwise you are going to be told what to do. Mm. You know, there is this project, there is this idea, there is this concept. You are just there following. But you are not even asking yourself where these things is taking us as a country, as a sovereign. You don't care like that.
Mm.
And that's why we always say, we are in a fourth industrial generation. What? If you ask them, what technology did you produce that has come up in the fourth industrial? You are just a consumer.
Yeah, until now.
The world is about economy. The economy is always demand, you know.
Mm.
It's all dominated by two things, which is market.
Mm.
The market is always demand and supply. You either choose.
Are you going to be a consumer or a supplier?
Yes. Or you are just going to be a consumer. In this global economy where we are now, we are just a consumer.
But I think it also, we are also losing our ability to innovate, because if you have something that can be supplied to you, I think making it is becoming even more difficult now, because even when you can speak about value addition, but the way you look at things is like people are more concerned in looking at the next supplier other than looking at how we can do it at home. Even at the mining, we have been speaking about that, and now the diamonds are becoming not useful every day and every day. Yeah.
You have a situation. You must differentiate between political statement and administration.
No. It's general. Not only politics. It's general.
Let me tell you. When we say, it's like there are people who try to own even a simple English word. Politician is not anybody. If you attach yourself to the word politician, that's your problem. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I say politicians because there are people who are making political statements.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people heard this concept and they go present them.
Mm.
But administration-wise, there's nothing that is informing it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and go on the podium and say, "Hi, value addition." That concept has been talked many times in this country.
How?
What value it bring on the table?
Mm.
So talk without work. And this is what we have seen, you know, all the time in the country. Sweet talk, sweet speech. Because these speeches are made without the reality on the ground. And you can say, this politician, look, because I don't know how to call them sometimes. Because there are people who study politics here. In this country. And we need to call them politicians. Because they study, they major in that thing. But there are people who call politicians who are not even, were not even in a political science class. You understand? And you call them politicians. Can you call a person who is a medical doctor who was never in medical doctor school? Or a nurse? Or a teacher?
Somebody asked a very good question to say, why do you send somebody to parliament who only have a grade 10 certificate to make laws for you, but those people will never take their kids to a doctor who is not certified, sometimes have a medical degree but not certified. They will not themselves, even them themselves, but you trust me, I trust you to make laws for me with a grade 10 certificate.
That's why I said that even my minister to say, look, we need to put, and we have said it many times. Minister is taking some of me, maybe you see, also listen the public conversation that we always have with the radio. There is no way you have, and this is what he said, there is no way you have. A CEO who has a master degree to be supervised by a mayor who has a degree.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Unless the CEO also do the work for the mayor indirectly, but just for formality. No, it's not going to work.
This is the problem. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
Even now, because people said political apparently is not academic. Politics is academic.
Indeed.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's academic because there's a field of study called political science. That's why I said that, look, There's no way that you can be a member of parliament and you don't even have, because member of parliament were supposed to have a master's degree there. If you don't have master's, then forget it. You can't go there. What are you going to do? You can have your master's degree in any field, it's okay. But without a master's degree, because that is the highest lawmaking. How can you make law when you are not in a class where they tell you how laws are made and how policies are made and the economy and the policy?
No, if you cannot concentrate for just 4 years, let me say 3 years of a bachelor's degree, just concentrate, fully committed to yourself, not for the country first, just to yourself, to say okay. This. Yeah, but it's a good argument. Let's come back and expand the conversation. Yeah.
Maybe to go to say, look, if we are very serious with ourselves, then we need to, our politics must deviate from what you call the popularity thing. As long as apparently you are popular, even if there is nothing in your head, people just follow you simply because, you know, maybe you are a good musician and maybe you are a good content creator. That nonsense. But at the highest level there.
No, you have you have charisma.
It's just charisma.
Mm.
Charisma, there are bad charisma.
Mm.
You can be a good politician, but without administration, you cannot do anything. Ne?
Okay.
Because first, you need the administration, you need management issue, you need to understand this thing, the governance part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not politics without understanding of governance. No. It cannot go into work.
Okay.
You were never in a formal working environment. Ne?
Yeah.
But the author, you and say, okay, can I represent you a counselor? What nonsense is that?
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe, 56 minutes past the hour of 6. And it's a letter from, it's a statement actually, from the Editors Forum of Namibia, especially when it condemns the abuse of NBC Clue, the abuse of journalists, especially by the refugee who are camping at Swapo headquarters. And looking at the statement offered by the chairperson of Editors Forum Namibia, that is Teuwen Jembera, it's indicated that the EFN condemn in the strongest term any act that seek to intimidate, harass, or obstruct journalists and media professionals in the lawful performance of their duty, such as conduct undermining not only the safety and dignity of individual media workers, but also broader role of, you know, the media as cornerstone of democratic society. Yeah, and it's something that they need to be condemned. And attacking not only our colleagues, but you're also attacking democracy. And people must also be able to understand that, you know, when you are attacking a journalist, but you are reading the newspaper every day, you are there scrolling on social media to see what Eagle FM has posted, what New Era has posted, what NBC has posted. But you are attacking journalists because you think they are part of the battle that you are fighting. But when you want something to be published, you are the first person also to run, to the media, to say they are not covering us, to say this information is not given, but using the media is a weapon. Sometimes it's not a good thing. It's actually not a very good thing. That's why attacking of journalists should be condemned. And Namibia has been praised for having press freedom for a very long time in Africa and in the world. But if a citizen come to the point of being angry, and also attacking a journalist, not only because it's our colleagues, but attacking democracy, you are attacking freedom, because the same person that you are chasing, the same person that is going to report when your child went missing, when you need assistance, and it could be also the same person that publicized, the challenges that you had. But looking at and it's also important when we're speaking about emotional regulation to say sometimes you are very angry and you cannot even differentiate between who is who. And also attacking journalists has been condemned. And you know, that can be also turned into a very big punishment, because you are not only attacking the person, you are attacking the institutions of the of democracy, and you are also attacking press freedom, because if they without press freedom, then citizens will not be able to understand what is happening, because that of which should be condemned by all means necessary. And also not to intimidate, because imagine you beat up a journalist and tomorrow there is no radio or TV is off, and how are you going to feel like? Because those young people that you see at an event are the one who are holding you know, the information of the world, and they are the one who are even giving you news. News can be bad, can be good, but you should not be at the center of that. And maybe the question that we have to say, those who are chasing journalists, what are they thinking now? What do they want things to, how do they want things to be done? But that is a statement from Editors Forum of Namibia. And let us move forward. And just looking at the last day, before we look at the tourism global barometer report of January 2026, especially by United Nations, is in Uganda. It's to say the military chief, or the CDF, Chief of Defense of Uganda, that is Muhoozi Kainerugamba, has given Bobi Wine 48 hours. That was yesterday. Maybe he just have 24 hours now to surrender himself. To surrender himself to police following last week of disputed presidential elections. And when you look on Twitter, look on X, you see the exchange between Bobi Wine and also Muhoozi Kainerugamba. And you can also see that interestingly, for those of you who do not know who Bobi Wine is, Bobi Wine is the main opposition leader who contested the 15 January elections, and who came second, and has been claiming also that the election were leaked, and also he was at one point arrested, and there have been a bit of people who were arrested too, and military have been deployed around, and now the CDF, Chief of Defense, is indicating that my brother has 48 hours to surrender also, because currently is in hiding. But if you look at the exchange on X, you'll be able to see that Bobi Wine indicated to say, "I will resurface when I want, so that you and your father can do what you want." And remember that the military chief of Uganda, Muhoozi Kainerugamba, is the son of the president Yoweri Museveni, who has been the president of Uganda since 1986, and has been a leader of that country for over 40 years now, and his re-elections will also extend his leadership to over 40 years, and we'll see what will happen. But we also ask, what kind of institution is this? Why a military chief ordering somebody to surrender himself to the police? Do they not have an inspector general of the police, or do they not have a head of police in Uganda? Or is it personal? Because when you look at the exchange, somebody is saying, no, I'll come, you and your father. And this one is protecting his father. But just something that really looks personal, but we are yet to see how the development is going to be, how the development is going to be, especially that side of Uganda. When Bobi Wine is given 48 hours to surrender himself to the police. And that is what is happening for you. And when these things are happening, one may also want to ask to say, what is UN doing? What is AU doing? Or we are on our own? Because you may think there is authority. Until somebody with bold moves make his moves, but an innocent and powerless will always be affected. But let us see how things are going to turn out, especially in Uganda. Because Muhoozi said 48 hours, maybe now there is just 24 or 23 or 22 before another action is taken. And Bobi Wine, somebody who suffered, been whipped, been jailed, been suffering here and there. And when you listen to his story, when you listen to his history, this is a very interesting character also. He said at one point he was a musician with a lot of money, a reggae musician with a lot of money. He also realized to say, although he was rich driving expensive car, inequality was so high, and to that point that he was also not allowed to be closer to the dinner table. And that's why he entered politics. He went to school and studied law. Now he's a lawyer. And, you know, this young man has been seen in the suffering, but that is the politics. Our politics is the politics of Africa for you. It's the politics of Africa for you. But we see how things are going to turn out. But there are also things that can happen in politics that we really do not know or do not understand. That's why it's always very important also not to entirely judge one person, by listening to the data, looking at the information, and also see which one are making sense and which one are just mere information. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at global tourism statistics. Then we also look at Namibia to see where are we standing. Where are we standing in terms of global statistics? How many people have traveled to Africa? Where are they going in Africa? And what does it mean to Africa and business? What does it mean also to the other part of the world? And how can we also making sure that when it comes to tourism, we leverage that opportunity so that we may or we can be able to collect revenue and also to attract more people. And yesterday we spoke about, in the business economic segment, when we spoke about disaster risk management, when you look at our main tourist destination such as Etosha, when it was attacked by fire last year, one will also be able to realize that if we can be able to manage and also find out the various measures, well-coordinated professionals who can be on standby, make sure that if one of those incidents happen, at least we protect our God-given resources, and we also do not chase away the tourists, and also do not destroy our conservation. So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation for today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle
My friend,
staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.
The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And, coming from the story of Bobby Wine, and moving forward, especially when you look at the World Tourism Barometer, one of the things that you be able to see is that in the past 2 years, or let me say in the past 5 years or so, a lot of things have been changing, especially looking at tourism attraction, looking at tourist destinations, and also looking at the way business have been done. And you also be able to see and realize that when you look at the statistics of tourism, particularly from late 2019, or let me say 2020 to 2022 there, you can also see that there's a bit of a slowdown, or there have been a challenge, particularly in maybe a tourism industry. A lot of people have been retrenched, particularly from the tourist sector, due to COVID-19, and that really have impacted negatively. Some people, they managed to return to work, some they did not return to work, and it has really impacted us, and it brought us this question of saying, why can't we also look at internal tourism? Because internal tourism is also one of the very important thing, because apart from just thinking of a tourist as somebody from other country, that should be something that should be stopped. And also looking at somebody who can only access tourism destination, somebody from other country, because you can see that being fortunate enough to travel to different parts of Namibia, I've realized to say there are very, very beautiful places, luxurious places in Namibia, that hotels in Namibia that you would never even think that they are existing here. And if Namibians first also decide to travel within the country, and we see people and not really to say you are judging them, but you know, the honeymoon people are going to, they are going to Bahamas, they are going to Kenya, they are going to Zanzibar, they are going to Mauritius. But I realize to say, Namibia is actually one of the tourist destinations in the world. And you also be able to see that once we explore those opportunities, we wouldn't want to leave Namibia without getting that opportunity to travel to various parts of Namibia. And also, are this information marketed to Namibians, or it's only for those who live, you know, outside the country? And also maybe the question of price too, because you find out that somebody from Germany, somebody from the US, somebody from the UK, Netherlands, Switzerland, Italy, or Spain, know Namibia better than you who have been here. Know Namibia better than you who have been here. And we're also asking a question to say, is tourism in Namibia really marketed to the Namibian citizens, or we are only looking at foreign currencies? We are only looking at the US dollars. You are only looking at, you know, the pounds, the euros, and the US dollars. But we are not looking at Namibians. So that is something that we need to establish before we go to the records of what statistics are saying. Let's look at IMBA, then we move forward.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, let us look at the World Tourism Barometer of 2026. And we look at UN data, and we can also compare with Namibia Tourism Statistics Report of 2024, and also to see where we are standing, and also to look at the gap which is there, and also ask a question, because something that it must be very clear is that we still do not have the report of 2024-2025 of Namibia statistics on tourism. The latest we have is of 2024, and it's our hope that this one for 2025 will come soon. There will be maybe no delay, because they will help to look where the world is standing. And looking at this World Tourism Barometer, we do not know now, because if the ministry does not have yet the compiled report, know that if this were part of Namibia was also included in this statistics, but looking at it from the global perspective, you can also be able to see that it is stated that the World Tourism Barometer January 2026, that international tourist arrival has increased up to 4% in 2025, reflecting strong travel demand around the world. The whole travel itself, people are interested in traveling around the world, and looking at international tourism, is an increment of 4% in compared to 2024, and an estimation of 1.52 billion international tourists were recorded around the world. That is in 2025, and it's a 60 million more than 2024. Now, that is a global statistics that is indicated, and it also show the new records in 2025 post COVID-19 era. And the results are in line with the increment in terms of focus of tourism, to say from 3 to 5% focused, that was published in 2025, and that came after 2024. Now let us look at various regions. Then you also look at Africa. Then you can also come to Namibia and also see what do we have in that aspect. From a global perspective, you realize to say Europe continue to be a leading figure in terms of attraction of tourism. People want to go to Paris, or Paris, as they say in French. People want to go to Paris. People want to go to Manchester City. People want to go to Swansea cities. People want to visit the UK, the Netherlands. People want to go to Barcelona, and want to go to Real Madrid, to Madrid. And if you not only look at those, look at Madrid. It's not only a soccer team, but it's also a town or a city. Look at Barcelona. It's not only a soccer team. Look into Swansea and also Manchester. I realize to say a lot of people are interested in traveling to Europe, and continue to be a world leading or largest destination, which record almost 800 million international tourists. And in 2025, it was standing at 793 million tourists, and there is 4% increment in terms of tourist travel in compared to 2024, and 6% more than in 2019. And West Europe and Southern Mediterranean Europe saw a robust performance. Now, when you look at the interest in terms of the documented, remember that we also have illegal immigrants. Also have illegal immigrants who are moving in thousands every year to Europe, particularly to Spain, and also to the UK. That's why maybe it's also what have prompted the Homeland Secretary of UK, especially to advise countries such as Namibia to put their house in order. Because a lot of people, they are looking for asylum. They are looking for asylum in the UK and Europe in general. And I've seen some videos of Namibians in the diaspora, and things that we do when you are outside other people's countries are not really good things. Maybe it's a reason we are also being chased. Our behavior, our posture, where we consume various things abroad, and our behavior, maybe it's also something that need to be looked at, to say, please, if you are traveling to UK, don't tarnish our reputation, because we may also maybe want to travel there one day. Don't beat people. Don't steal things from people's shops, or do not openly or physically fight with your husband there, whether it's your husband that you found there, whether it's your wife that you found there. Because when you look at some videos of Namibians abroad, again, I've seen a few from the UK, you realize to say, at least the behavior should be different. Either you went there with school, either you went there with, either you went there with school, or you went there with work, or we went there as a tourist just to look at things. At least the behavior also matter, because we don't want to be blacklisted in all the sector. And we are already finding it very difficult to enter, the US. And you guys are there when you get asylum. Please do not block our ways, or do not tarnish our reputation. And it's always something that need to be looked at, to say everybody is an ambassador, whether you went with any form, an ambassador of your own country. And Looking at the best performing countries in Europe, we have Iceland, which has a 29% increment in terms of tourist attraction. We have Azerbaijan with a 14% increment, Norway 13%, and also North Macedonia. And let us look at, interestingly, look at Americas. Americas, we speak about American regions, that is North and South America. And you'll be able to see that there is a bit of a decline in terms of traveling to America. Because when you speak about Americas, you don't only speak about the United States of America, you speak about the North and South America. To say Americas only recorded 218 million tourist growth, or 218 million tourists who arrived in America, whether you went to Brazil, whether you went to Peru, whether you went to Mexico, or whether you went to Venezuela, whether you went to, you know, to Canada, or you went to, you know, Argentina. And it is stated that in comparison to 2024, there are mixed results across sub-regions, and in 2025 also saw small decline, especially in the third and fourth quarter, due to weak results in the United States of America, because Donald Trump said America first. When you want to enter here, you have to have all the documents. You cannot just go there looking for asylum. You must have all the documents. And now, if you want to travel to the US, it's a 15,000 US dollars visa bond, between 5,000 to 15,000. And you must also go through a screening process. You must be vetted. You must go through a one-on-one interview. And you must also be able to reveal the records of the traveling history of your family members, and also your intention and the time you're going to travel there. And that screening alone, that vetting alone, I think is also one of the things that has really impacted the traveling of African, and also the traveling of people in the world, to the United States of America, and also to the American regions in general. Now, let's come to Africa. Africa, we are still doing very well. Africa, we are still doing very well. In terms of attracting tourists, to say Africa attracted 81 million tourists, that show 8% increase in which arrived in 2025. And the results show that North Africa is the main destination, to tourists. And the available data, according to this barometer, also show that Morocco is number one. Morocco is number one in terms of data. Because Morocco is the largest destination, welcomed 14% more international arrivals, and reaching around 20 million. Then it followed by our good friend South Africa. And we must maybe also say we are included here, because that revenue, which is coming to our brother South Africa, is also our revenue. One way or the other, South Africa is number two. Then you have Ethiopia, you have Seychelles, Tunisia, Sierra Leone, which both have 10% increment. Now you are asking yourself to say, where is Egypt? Are the people no more interested in looking at the great pyramids, or they have shifted? But those are the top five when you look at Africa. And the Middle East, 3% increment. Egypt is here with 20% increment, and also to say, Now we are good. But now, we got the data. We got the data. But one thing that we must also be very clear is that where is Namibia into this? This 1.5 billion people who travel records, Namibia submitted their records, and why are we a bit behind in terms of presenting our records? And I've seen our good minister has really promised us that before April, that report of 2025 in terms of tourism statistics, we'll be able to get it. And you cannot blame the current leadership. Oh, but we also need to hold them accountable, to say maybe this is also the time, because we need those records so that we can plan, so that we can do our business, so that we can also see where we can do business with that attract tourists, and also where we can benefit, either is hospitality, either is services of different kind. And yeah, before we look at available data in the Namibia tourism statistics of 2024, let's look at the USAVE, and you can also engage us at 083-288-8401. Let us look at USAVE and move forward.
Short on cash? Get to a USAVE for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms Champion Super Maize Meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokomo Fat Cooked Flour, 2 kilos Nice Rice, 2 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar, and 1 kilogram Grande Macaroni or Spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite USAVE. We all set at USAVE.
Yeah, let us move forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Yeah, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401, because when you speak about data are necessary, because they guide us, they are giving us information. And interpreted data can also be able to read us, especially in terms of making decisions, because most of the things that you see, especially things that are not working, are things that are done not informed by statistics. Because if you know that in 2024, people who have traveled to Namibia or Namibia tourists at 1.4 million who travel to Namibia from different countries, and you also see that when you look at that aspect, you can also be able to see that when it comes to their intention, when it comes to where they are coming from, when it's coming to where they are going to travel, when it's coming to what they bring, then you also understand that the 2024 report on tourist arrival show that when it comes to top 10 overseas tourists that have traveled to Namibia, those coming from South Africa, coming from Angola, Botswana, Germany, Zambia, Zimbabwe, United States, UK, France, and Netherlands. And the top 10 overseas tourists we have Germany, US, UK, France, and Netherlands. You have Italy, Spain, Canada, and Australia. Then you can also be able to see that for the student of tourism, especially 2026, must be able to that learning German can be an advantage. Learning German can be an advantage, because you are going to deal with majority of the tourists coming from that destination. And Germany has been one of the countries that are really interested in Namibia, not only because we are sharing common history, but they also interest, and we are sharing a lot of things. And you can also be able to see that looking into that aspect, learning German can be an asset. Either you are interested in foreign affairs, or you are interested in tourism or hospitality, because here is the language that you will be able to communicate apart from English. Because if you are into that industry, do not say you are coming to Namibia, learn our language. You need to meet people where they are. And that is the language of business, to say you need to meet them where they are, so that you can be able also to have these mutual beneficial relations, because that is exactly what we are speaking about now. We have spoken about this to say in terms of gender, majority are male with 62%, and you also have majority of tourists are male, and that also has to do with your planning, especially if you are a craftsman. A craftsman, you understand what men likes, what necklace do they like, especially African products. And you can also be able to see that in terms of logistics, 77% of these tourists, they use the road, 19%. They travel by air, and 3.1 they use sea or river. And those are the things that we need to look at. And some are holiday. Majority they come for holiday. People want to relax. Imagine if somebody want to relax, somebody want to take his wife out, this person come to Namibia, but you are not happy in Namibia because you did not travel around your own country. You know, people are traveling as far as Germany, as far as the UK, as far as United States, but you are waiting to get an illegal document so that you can enter UK, so that you can just become a housekeeper. What an insult to the dignity of Namibians, and also what's an insult to the wealth of the country that we have. Maybe it's a high time that now, either as a ministry, this information should not only be given to those who are interested in traveling, but also opportunity to be given to Namibian, especially the youth, to understand and travel our own country, because you also be able to see that somebody from outside will come and teach us our own history, which is actually not a good thing to look into. But information, clarification, and distribution, and these are also things that geography teachers should have, and information that they should give, particularly up-to-date information, not really to say you should change the curriculum, but when you are giving your presentation, do not just be a teacher of geography, but you are looking at information without looking at the practical examples. Give information and also give up-to-date information, because that is how you teach the children to understand, and also to be interested in the field of tourism, because there is actually a lot of money coming from tourism. And we can also see that there's also an aspect of the space of business to say. When I spoke to Jonas Epaphras, one of the things that he mentioned is that Namibians, we don't like to collaborate. Namibians, we don't like to work together. When you look at, without any biasness, just being objective, and look at the business of tourism in Namibia, either it's ownership of hotels, either it's ownership of guest houses, either it's ownership of lodges, logistic companies, and many other things, and many other services, you realize to say what was supposed to be a beneficial to almost everybody can also end up into some people. Because as Namibians, especially those who are at the edge of Namibian economy, do not want to collaborate. The only benefit maybe is when a taxi driver takes somebody from an airport, but now people are using shuttles. And when you are using shuttles, you realize that why can't Namibian taxi owners work together and come up with a company that is benefiting ordinary people on the ground by transporting tourists instead of fighting for smaller portions? Why can't those who own, a few properties, particularly those who are used for renting, work together so that they can just come up with a villa for tourists so that when they come to Namibia, they come to that aspect. And it says a lot also about capital too, to say for us to expand this tourist business, let us also look at what capital is available there so that the people can venture into that. And I'm yet to see the business that being with tourism from youth-funded programs. Let us look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Shembe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, we shouldn't be just complaining all the time.
Yeah.
Thank God for the another day.
Indeed.
It's a new day, it's a new spirit, everything. So, yes, thank you very much. Yeah, the other aspect that we forget to neglect is when it comes to education system.
No, we don't forget to neglect. Maybe we just neglect them or we forget them because...
Yeah. So the ones that we neglect most.
Yeah.
And they are variable indeed in life, in our life.
Yeah.
So this system of education.
We
know very well that we have the one that is well crafted, well documented, issues of formal education system, for example. But you also have the one for adult and non-formal education, informal education system, where we, the children, and I mean all of us actually, are mentored, are molded through. This is informal education from your family when you are crawling and all these things. You are actually made into this kind of a, important education system. So fine, we also have the one that we acquire certificate and master's and degree or whatever we can have.
Can you straighten your point? Why are you giving up on this point?
No, I'm coming because this is just a beginning. I haven't even made about 2-3 sentences yet.
Okay.
So you're also talking about acquiring masters to be in parliament, to be wherever. It's a system. It's a way of getting knowledge. There are also competencies that are attributed to you acquiring a master. But we have heard many a times, and we are witnessing these things, about unethical conduct with people who have got masters, isn't it?
Indeed.
And we have got those who have got masters through this informal education system that I'm talking about. But they have been working, they are doing well, they don't do this other thing, this, you know, you understand? How did they acquire this ethics, these values, these norms that, yes, this is how you govern. This is how you behave in parliament. Despite the fact that you have got your master's degree from the University of Namibia or wherever. So these are some of the things that even the language and the attitude and all these other things can also demonstrate. We have seen a lot of them. When you look at the corruption.
You're absolutely correct. I don't disagree with you on that. You are absolutely correct. But maybe the what should be emphasized is not only to say you are it's a guarantee that you must become a lawmaker. Because really what you have said is that education may give you knowledge, but somehow cannot teach you manners and also decorums on how to behave and also how to control your emotions, although there are modules there, but sometimes you also need to look at, because I think the argument of the caller was based on competency and understanding, not really to say it's only people with master's degree or people who went to university who can able to articulate issues. But, and I think not to speak on his behalf, One of the things that...
Well, I'm not actually talking about him. I just mentioned this.
It's actually a general conversation to say at least you must show some level of competency.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. We have seen, witnessed those things who have shown the level of competence. Even that's why, even those bush mechanics, for example, that you talk about. Yeah, there are also, they have competence, isn't it? Maybe you just need to craft a standard where how to measure them, their competency and all these things. Like when I was, when we go to VTC, mechanic, for example, even the welding and fabrication, those are the things that I did at VTC. So the companies bring their own people so that they can be certified.
Yeah.
Because of the knowledge that they have acquired through that system that I'm talking about.
But let me ask you a question.
So before I finish explaining my point.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
Yeah, because we are talking. I want to ask you a question. Can you take your daughter to a medical doctor that you just heard that he forged his qualification, although he was working for 5 years?
Yeah, you know that example came into your discussion.
Just hold on.
At ShopRite, we're helping you make your money go further with our wide range of back-to-school savings. Save big on essentials like 72-page A4 College Feint and Margin Exercise Book for just $4.99, 80 GSM 250 Sheets Typek A4 Photostat Paper for only $54.99, and 2x40-gram Stadler Glue Stick Value Pack for a low $39.99. Valid until 8 February 2026. Shop more back-to-school savings only at ShopRite.
Can you still go forward and just because a person has experience but the qualification was forged, maybe he dropped out at the fourth year or he just did not write his certification? Can you still go on and take your...
Because you are saying that that person falls, whatever, is not qualified, is not certified.
But he has been just assisting people because he has the basics due to experience.
So those people who were assisted, were they healed or did he kill some of them in a way or process or whatever?
They were healed.
They were healed, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you see, that's what I'm saying.
No. Just, are you taking your daughter there or not?
I'm answering you. I'm answering you. Don't worry, I'm answering
you. Is it yes or no?
No, after we have discovered that, and it's proven beyond reasonable doubt.
You just heard from the media that no person was arrested pretending to be a doctor.
Yes.
He's now...
There are also those who are certified, but they are arrested, they are allegations.
I hear you. But can you take because the person doesn't have qualification?
No, I have to examine the facts, the information and things like that.
It's the same way now. It's the same way somebody say, you just gave grade 10 and you are at the center of the discussion about PEGA Act, that it's a very important act that deal with, institutions, SOEs. This person, you are maybe the mover of that motion. And you are just asking yourself to say, man. You can be experienced. Yes, maybe you are experienced. But it's something that we really need to be fair to ourselves sometimes.
Fine. It's true. You know, like this park that you are talking about now, during this, which is oil lot or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So people were saying, this is a civil matter, it's a commercial issue and stuff and things like that. People were making reference. So it's not a criminal issue. You know, some of those conduct, even if it's the person, you can also mentor the person. Last time we were talking about mentorship, this informal training that I'm talking about. Yeah? People have acquired some of this grade 10, 12, and things like that, and they are mentored.
Yeah.
Because we are talking about adult education and non-formal learning and long life learning and all these other issues. Because these are combinations of the formal structures kind of curriculum and the one that is more broader and it teaches you manner, like you said, Of course, the competency is also produced there. Not about the knowledge. The functional skills also produced there. If somebody who has folded the thing, that one, you know, he has folded the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is no doubt about it.
Thank you.
So let me conclude with this point.
In conclusion?
So, yes. Master degrees are very important.
Yeah.
These grade 10 people are 12. They are also important. These are the people that you put on the roadside now, because they have to be motivated. They have to be encouraged and go and acquire what we get from the, let's say from VTC. If you see somebody, a parent who's taking his or her child to vocational training with 30 points, it's lay. I'm headed. So those ones, grade 7, I mean, is good. 17 points, what points? Those are the now when we say, I told you, I got my boys from Wuhambo where they were put because of whatever points.
Yeah.
They to go look for, to go to the farm and the labor and things like that. Now, when I'm talking now, these are the people who are doing well in tourism. Where are we standing in terms of tourism? That's my conclusion.
Come again?
Which level are we in terms of tourism attractive, investment attractive, and all these other things? Where is Namibia featuring?
Namibia
last
is...
Last time we were number one or so.
No, we are not in this, we only have the latest report we have for 2024. We are yet to see, even with this global, the one which we're discussing today, the one for global tourism report, this one we are not here. Maybe we have submitted our data, but we are not here in the top 10. But the last time, like in 2024, we attracted, over 1.4 million tourists.
And that's number one category. That number one category, like South Africa as well.
In Africa? Or where?
Yes, in Africa.
Yet to confirm that.
Yeah,
we did well from COVID-19 and it's picking up and we are seeing even the 2024 report is showing that Namibia have really advanced from, COVID-19 era to where we are now. And we can also see it ourselves.
The problem that I have there, for you people, we can call them challenge, and it's the challenge that need to be translated, converted into opportunity, is on village tourism. And we have been speaking about the thing. So that village tourism, of course, they come, whether they pay at hotel number one or in Windhoek or wherever. So it is, of course, sometimes it is trimmed down to the level, but we also need to have ours. This is where we have a good environment. Look at the nature now. Most of those swamps and all this can convert them into tourism, village tourism. I don't know. When are we going to get the opportunity that been created by political leadership, even if they don't have masters and the parliament? Thank you very much. God bless.
All right, thank you. We are moving forward with the early morning scoop. We are 52 minutes past the hour of 7. And looking at tourism arrival or foreign arrivals in 2024, we're at 1.4 million people, a million tourists. And that is actually, according to the Ministries of Environment report, is that it's an increment, impressive, higher than 2023 with 37%. And that shows that Namibians are still, or Namibia is still a country of choice, a destination of choice. People don't only come to June 7. People don't only come to Etosha. People don't only come to Wavisbe and Swakop. People travel around, people, they go to the north. People come and visit and see what's happening in Orufuko.
and they bring us money. But are we working together as Namibians to make sure that we capitalize on these opportunities? How should somebody at the edge of the economy be able to benefit from this tourist, not only as somebody who is selling kapana at single quota so that they come and test, but also to make sure that we get much and we learn more from this. The other time we were speaking about when you look, for example, at single quota, it's not only a place that you go and eat kapana, but it's a tourist attraction destination. When a person touched down, Hosea Kutako International Airport, when you come to those beautiful hotels, Avani, Hilton, and all the hotels in Namibia, when you come to town, you are not baptized yet, you are not arrived in Windhoek if you don't go to single quota. You know how special is that? But if you ever take time and look at the market, look at the arrangement, look at the restrooms, look at how things are, there is beautiful meat, delicious meat, actually, you cannot deny that. But are we really ready to make sure that we make it the best tourist attraction? It should not be just scarcity, but it should be at least improved in terms of standard, so that we don't only do it for ourselves, but everybody come there. When I don't know now if it's Aki or Ukwa, a Nigerian actor, only know them as Aki and Ukwa, or Aki and Mo. When the Nigerian actor came to Namibia for a visit, he made sure that he visited Kapana. When Karambo came to Namibia, you would not without testing Kapana. But that is a tourist destination too. But we just need to make sure that, we advance it and we attract more and we capitalize on that. And we also find ways on making business in tourism sector where people, they don't only compete, but they collaborate, because competing, it was stated that competing is a basic level of business. But when you reach at a global platform, when you reach at a global level, there's no more competition, it's collaboration and working together. Because being an institution, they collaborate and working together. That's why if you look at Facebook, look at Instagram, look at those Twitter guys, they don't compete. They just say, David, how much should I give you? Or where can we work together in this project? Because that is a level of, it's a bigger level in business where businesses, they realize to say competition is for a small market, but at a bigger market, they collaborate. That's why we say, if you want to capitalize on tourism, I understand those who are at the edge of the economy cannot afford to own a hotel or a lounge, but you can collaborate where you can to say, instead of me just sitting this craft work alone, when they are finished, I'm going home. Let us collaborate with other. I make the craft work, we have the transport, and we can work together, or you can communicate in German. At least if they come here, I explain, we get the money, we go home, and life continue. Good morning.
Just a minute. Complementarity. I was listening to a speech of, I don't know, His Excellency, the President of Botswana.
Mm.
And when they came here, I think there was a street that was renamed after him or something like that. And the topic.
Okay. Hello? Okay, continue.
In the center of the discussion.
Mm.
Where our president was,
mm.
was complementarity. So those where you see a gap in Botswana or Namibia or even South Africa, because there's also G20 for when it comes to tourism, isn't it? G20 sport, G20 what, G20 what. So now this complementarity collaboration that you are talking about, where we have a gap, if it is in terms of diamond, Botswana and Namibia, they all, and we know the value is going down, and also, so the diversification of economic activity, to make sure that this area is more prospering. I love the way you explain about Katana. Thank you very much, David. God bless.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Uncle Bana, for always giving us your insight. And that brings us to the end of our conversation. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. And sharp, sharp.